with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Tuesday from Churchill Downs, Sirius 219 XM 201. Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to SiriusXM online and at the website as well. And crisp, cool Tuesday, much cooler today than yesterday. And a very, a very relaxed training session. This morning, and we'll get through a few of the notes on that front that included a little flourish at the end, as I wrote, with Crown Pride, who's out for 45 minutes every morning. He gets the tour, the entire facility, and he kind of got engaged a little bit this morning. It's good to see, actually, when you see a horse that gets aggressive, and that's what happened. He was just out galloping, maybe in the 2.5 path, and a horse was working. It's one of the, not hazards, but it is one of the things that can happen for horses that don't utilize the 7:30 to 7:45 training session, and as a result, Crown Pride's out there galloping along, and the horse comes zipping up the rail. And the exercise rider could hear him coming. And he saw him look one way and the other way. He knew something was going to... When he looked inside, he realized, he came off another half path. But it wasn't so much getting out of the way that was an issue. It was a question of Crown Pride wanting to, tear after the worker, and so he really got aggressive, and he probably put in a spirited half mile before relaxing and letting it kind of letting the air out of the balloon on the backside. So Crown Pride, there's always something entertaining. The unusual training methods that the Japanese engage in. So that was part of this morning's activity. We'll go through some other notes in a second, but let's first talk about what transpired officially yesterday. And we opened the show, if you're listening to the replay, and listen this morning already, the news that was foreshadowed essentially at the beginning yesterday of the show, the word that Classic Causeway was going to put his hat back in the Derby ring. And then as the morning progressed into the early afternoon, it became not just a question of being back under consideration, but officially that Classic Causeway was going to run. And Julian Leperoux is going to ride, and it if you read the quotes, and I think you can sense what the situation is. I mean, Brian Lynch acknowledging that the horse is actually fine. There was never an issue out of the Florida Derby try, owners Clark Cooper and Pat O'Keefe. Yeah, it's a unique opportunity for them to participate in Derby, and so he's going to participate. What make of it, what you will, and the thing that I suppose it it helps in terms of the way this field is going to unfold. James Scully is going to join us at 10, as promised. I mentioned last week that I wanted James to come on and look through the BrisNet PPs, and first of all, you know, because they've been readily available for people, the various pieces of information, all the, you know, the early pace, the late pace, the speed ratings, the class rating, the prime power, all, you know, the way in which it, you know, for those that look at, you know, have looked at BrisNet's PPs, and the way in which the race is summarized, you know, what is there to learn here in advance of Monday's draw? So James will do that, and part of, you know, that discussion, and particularly when we look at the, you know, the early pace, Classic Causeway is going to represent the pace that early voting, if you looked, like, for instance, yesterday, Timeform, they put out the first pace projector for Derby, and early voting was up on the front end, but it's pretty clear at this point. He hasn't been ruled out completely, but you can just tell by everything that Chad Brown is saying, and the fact that Zandon is here and making a very positive impression versus the fact that early voting isn't here. And I don't think there's, you know, doesn't take quantum physics to draw conclusions. So from a pace standpoint, having Classic Causeway re-enter the picture is, you know, essentially a replacement for where early voting would be. So, I mean, for those that are, you know, kind of flummoxed about, well, what is it going to mean? For right now, just assume that the Classic Causeway is where early voting would be. You know, especially if you're looking at the Timeform U.S. Pace projector, which, you know, has got the one, and it seems every year that the pace projector calls the Derby pace a fast pace, but it's got what we're going to consider Classic Causeway out front with Epicenter, Messier, and Charge It kind of phalanxed behind him, followed by Taba and Zozos, and then Pioneer of Medina, you know, representing the first third of the field. And then in the middle, essentially, kind of a mid-pack stalking group, it's got White Abario, Cyberknife, Simplification, followed by Tawny Port, Un Ojo, and Happy Jack. And then kind of a, you know, the late running types, including Smile Happy and Barber Road, and then Zandon, Mo Donegal, Mo Happy, and Tis the Bomb. And one question that needs to be answered that is uncertain is, and this is something I'm going to ask James too, because this is also true in the way BrisNet is looking at the race with this field, is the UAE Derby exiters, where to expect Crown Pride and Summer is Tomorrow. Because you don't have the same figures to utilize on that front. So we'll continue to, you know, watch what happens here and see what happens to the horses that are still still hopeful. And as I mentioned yesterday, there's even the possibility of there's always going to be a possibility of more change. And the horses that added back in, I tweeted yesterday about Bye Bye Bobby and Todd Fincher. They wanted back on the list. Even Golden Glider for Cassie. I wondered if Papa Cap would turn up. Golden Glider has been put back as well on the list. So the way things stand right now, if anybody else, and I'm assuming that early voting is not running. So that does keep, you know, Pioneer of Medina as the 20th horse. The rest of the way things unfold are In Due Time, Ethereal Road, Rich Strike, Rattle and Roll, Bye Bye Bobby, Skippy Longstocking, Major General, and then Golden Glider. So those are the other 8 horses that are still interested in running if spots should open. And at this point, you get this close, you don't want any hiccups from here on in. So that was the news from yesterday. In addition to Classic Causeway getting into the field, returning to the field, I suppose, Julian Leperoux named, you also had Manny Franco. Manny Franco picked up the mount on Zozos. So we're down, I think, to Tawny Port and Pioneer Medina needing an assignment, needing a jock to ride. All right, and you know, with both at this point with Todd and Brad Cox, you're also monitoring if anybody else, you know, if anybody else comes open, right? That's the other, you know, we think about the horses, obviously the riders and their stake in all of this to make it through to next Friday and Saturday. Regarding this morning, there was no work. Crown Pride will work again tomorrow and then again Sunday. But otherwise, it was strictly a gallop morning. The Asmussen camp, back to their, usual early morning efforts. A lot of times they won't partake in the special 15-minute session. It's an early morning barn. But during the session, actually got a look at a few horses that we hadn't seen yet, or hadn't seen in a while either, and that included Cyberknife, Al Gold's Arkansas Derby winner. Looked good. Zandon, as I referenced earlier, just puts on a positive, very positive impression. And there's, there's different degrees. As we, as we discuss these, these mornings, there's always different degrees of energy, and you want controlled aggression. You want a horse that looks like they want to do more, but isn't tugging and isn't fighting, and Zandon, I haven't seen what Mike, I don't know if Mike, he probably hasn't done the morning recap yet, but I won't be surprised if he names Zandon, the best of the morning, just in terms of gallopers. Got to see Unoho. He was out for a good long time. He came out, he was one of the first horses out, and then waited, actually, for quite a while to got to spend a good, 10 minutes or more even before he galloped. And the Todd squad comes out as a group. Charge It The Chargers fans are going to have themselves a and not just Chargers fans. I mean, anybody that is looking at, you know, Derby players that have the limited resumes, it's a very tough equation to decide. Yeah, but in terms of impression, it certainly looks, you know, terrific. It's been a couple of mornings that I've been able to. I wasn't out Sunday morning early. I was just yesterday and today. So you just keep your finger on the pulse and you watch and see, like we discussed yesterday. Got a first look at, we're going to talk to Shug, actually. You're going to talk to Shug here in the next 10 minutes. But got our first look at Kathleen O, who had her first morning. Got a chance to see late in the session Hidden Connection, who was definitely wanting to do a little bit more. Having her head kind of tucked and held. Got the first look at Nostalgic as well for Bill Mott. That came out fairly late in the morning. Another spirited morning for Cocktail Moments. Tearing around there. As well. Other than that, the McPeak males, the McPeak runners, Tis the Bomb and Smile Happy. It would have been notable if they had gotten warm, if Smile Happy had gotten warm this morning, because it was chilly. I mean, there was yesterday was warm. Yesterday was warm and humid, but looked okay today. They just galloped. Who else? I think that's pretty much it, because Asmussen out early. So Zandon, Modonegal, Tis the Bomb, Cyberknife, Crown Pride, Smile Happy, Tawny Port. Tawny Parton went around a couple of times. And Barbara, I'm going to have to ask Mike when he comes over. If Barbara Rode was out there, I missed him. Unoho, as mentioned. Zozos, who we talked about just in reference to Manny Franco getting the mount. He looked good. Charge it. And Pioneer Medina, having walked, worked yesterday, walked today. And the AE types, the only one was Rich Strike. I saw Rich Strike out there. It was nice, compact type that. It would be great if Eric Reed could get in, but it seems like a long shot. So and then on the Philly side, was there anybody? No, that told Nest. Yeah, so pretty much everybody. Nest, Kathleen O, Nostalgic, Venti Valentine. I know Venti Valentine was out there, but I only saw her standing at the end if she went around. Hidden Connection, I mentioned. Cocktail Moments. Oh, Shahama, that interesting Pletcher filly. You'll have to watch her. She feels like something of an unknown. In fact, if you heard Todd, was it last week? or 2 weeks ago, 10 days ago, when I asked him about Jama, it sounded like he was trying to get to know Jama a little bit. So, to see where she was. But she looked up. She looked all right. I'm gonna have to track her. And that, you know, that's one of the benefits of getting here and watching them and on a daily basis. I learned my lesson. I've said this before. I learned my lesson with Bluegrass Cat, who, you know, 2 weeks out, you wouldn't have given you wouldn't have given a chance. But by the time it got to Derby week, he literally had come back around and ran that bang up second. So there's value in watching, and you've got the advantage also of the show that Churchill's presenting. If you can't watch it live 7 to 8, you can watch the replay, and Joe Christofek and Scott Shapiro and James and Brandon Staubel, they will bring you not just the visuals of the gallops, but from here, but also the ones from around the country, from New York and from Florida and from California. So until those horses arrive, plus interviews too. Saw John Ortiz this morning, and as kind of anticipated, the Ortiz barn and Barber Road, one of the really nice stories that has made it to Derby. A couple of notes before we reach for Shug. In fact, we could actually. Case, in fact, if you want, we'll talk to Andy later, by the way. As we reach for Claude Ray, and we'll talk about Scalding's win, but we'll also talk to him about Kathleen O, while we got the opportunity. It's one of the advantages. Got to mention the results from yesterday, and one of the two performances we kind of were able to plug into, the other one not so much. And it's funny because as I said yesterday, the Paige McKinney to me was the race that was engaging, and was worth taking a shot. And he ended up with For Love of Bourbon, the Pinot, for Smart Angle, the Bourbon Courage gelding, 5-year-old these days, and $13 winner. It was a good race. Baron ran great. I Am Redeemed was sort of mired early and got involved way too late, and then just had to settle for third at 4-5. But For Love of Bourbon, $13, and that was okay. Kendrick Carmouche, fresh off of his riding title at Aqueduct in the filly race. Unique Bella, Cinnabunny, and she went favored. And I, she absolutely figured as one of the principals. What was interesting was you ended up with with 2 40-to-1 shots, second and third. And I was interested in some prices, but absolutely had the wrong ones. And Cinnabunny just wins by a neck. The Golden Lad mare for Running Moore and Cal Lynch. 660 in that unique Bella. And when it came to the 2-year-old race, congratulations to our friend Will Schwartz. And Will had the pair in here, and the shorter of the two prices, the homebred, the Exaggerator Filly, Condescending with Frankie Pennington, clear winner. I mean, these are, you know, it's a, essentially a quarter horse kind of style dash, but Condescending wins and gets the 2-year-old season going. John Service trains for Will, and the other one, Chance Occurrence, this was a opportunity. First starter, and was a good second, chasing stablemate home. So congratulations to Will. Kind of cool. Runs 1-2. He must. Actually, $48 for the exacta. That's not bad. So Will, I guarantee you, Will bet. I'm sure that he did. So, well done. Another 2-year-old race today, and just thumbing through because I know that I had it. And you've got some more firsters, first time. I mean, they're all firsters, but you've got some stallions that are debuting. And we also got to look at the Keeneland action the last 3 days of the Keeneland meet. And there's still a couple of 2-year-old races, including turf at Keeneland to come. And I think I hear Shug McGahey in the background. Shug, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Shug, the most important question, Scalding wins the Ben Ally. Was that the birthday present you got for Allison?
Yeah. That helped. That helped with the birthday present. Yeah, that was good. He ran really good.
This is obviously a horse that is you know, steadily improving, and we'll talk about his upside, but that's 4 straight wins.
Well, he's a horse I always liked, and I had him at Gulfstream winner before last and sent him up to Payson from there, and he hurt a knee. We just had to give him some time. You know, then he came back, and, you know, his last 4 races have been good. I think the 2 earlier races at Tampa was kind of a key to where we got him now, where, you know, he kind of learned to run, and, you know, they were confidence builders too. So I was obviously happy with those races, and then for him to win the Challenger over there, meeting Cody's Wish, who's a nice horse of Bill's, and then to come back and, you know, we were a little bit deeper water on Saturday, and for him to win the way he did was pretty satisfying.
Well, the 4-year-old is a Nyquist colt and was bred by Godolphin, and has a pretty, you know, you got a pretty heady ownership trio involved in this horse.
Well, that's something they put together, and I think probably Alex Solis and Jason Lipp bought the horse at Saratoga, and he got some shins early and took care of that. And, you know, I mean, Alex has been a friend of mine, and Robert Clay I've known for years, who I think kind of put the thing together, the grand view. And, you know, I was glad to know also, because like I say, I've known Robert and Blythe for years, and this is really kind of the first horse I've ever had that he's had anything to do with, and so it was fun.
How about that? Clearly, you know, this horse is going places. You know, what What do you think? I mean,
Well, Steve, I think his progression's been really good. If you look at his buyer numbers, you know, the tall thing. I don't know what he ran the other day. What did he run the other day? You know, but
97.
97.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think I don't know. I haven't really talked to him about it. I looked at it. You know, we got the Stephen Foster on July the 2nd at Churchill. The Suburban's here, I think, on the 9th. There's a race at Monmouth around two turns around the 23rd. But, you know, I just sort of let him bounce out of his race, and, you know, I'll get with them and we'll make some sort of a game plan, just like we did with, that was one of the reasons we took him over to Tampa real, you know, kind of back in a hurry to run an allowance race to see where we stood to run back in that Challenger. And then I think we were all in agreement after we won that, the Ben Ally was going to be next on our agenda. And might come up a little bit deeper than I thought it was going to, but, he answered the call. And, you know, if he keeps moving forward, you know, I guess the sky's the limit.
To me, it's one of the nice stories. Every week there's another four-year-old that, you know, just keeps layering on to the handicap division, and here's another one, feels like he's getting good at exactly the right time for the middle part of the season. And I do want to fold in another part of this story, because I don't think it's unfair to say that Javier Castellano, Shug, seems to have his mojo back, and after, you know, kind of a rough stretch, and working with PJ Campo, and he came to Keeneland just to ride for you. Feels like Javier is kind of back.
Well, I agree. You know, he came to me last summer when he made the agent change, and, I could tell he had some wrinkles in his belly and was ready to try to get back down to it. And, we know what he was in the past, and, I said, well, let's see what happens. I think, we won some races at around here in the fall. Then this winter we've had this horse, and, then also Kathleen O, and he's going to ride Greatest Honor in the Westchester on Derby Day. And so, I think that, I think so. He's been out working, just couple mornings I'd see him and say, "Who you working some?" He said, "No, I'm just out here, running around." I think PJ too. You see PJ as much as any agent around here. And, it's been pretty good. I've always, liked Javier a lot as a person. It got to be there where it was impossible because he's riding a lot for Chad. I think that probably, when that kind of slowed down a little bit, it kind of, gave him some other opportunities, and it's worked out, it's worked out well for me.
Nice. And I'm happy for Javier. He was an early COVID case, and, that seemed to, kind of knock him, quite a bit. And of course, the long association that he had with Matt Musiker, and felt like there was a bit of a adjustment period for him to make as he went through a couple of agents, and it feels like he's the Javi that that everybody knows, and here's another nice horse that he's latched onto, and the only rider that Scalding's had, actually. So
That's a good thing. No, I'm glad for him too. And as I said, and you said, well, he's a good guy, and we know he's a good rider. He's been a good rider, for a long time. And he got hurt in the gate in Saratoga summer before last. It took him a while to get over that. And I'm pleased with our results. His style kind of suits me a little bit. Be a little bit patient, but he's gonna ride some, and Jose Ortiz is gonna ride some. I think with Flavian Pratt coming to New York will probably open the door a little bit for IRAD. I think when you look at the riders that are going to be around here, it's a pretty solid group. And you know, if you can't get this one, but you can get that one, I don't think you're kind of losing much.
Well, in addition to Scalding, we do have to hit a couple of other, before we talk Kathleen O and what lies ahead here at Churchill, a couple of other performances to assess. Let's go over to the Woodhaven, actually, and Fort Washington's effort.
I thought it was good. Steve, the horse of Chaz ran really good. Fort Washington, he needs racing. He's a bit green, and that was why that I, went on and stepped it up and ran him there. And, I thought he was a little bit green the other day. He didn't break that good. And, I think he kind of maybe was intimidated by the horse on the inside of him through the stretch run. And, I was glad he stuck his nose out and got second. But I think he's the kind of horse that once we get him going a little bit farther, it's going to help him. But he's a really nice horse. He's a horse that I really, I like, and he takes care of himself in a good way. And I think his future's in front of him.
Very nice. And you did have a busy weekend. And in addition, of course, the Aqueduct wrapping up and Keeneland second weekend. You also you run at Laurel and in a hurry in that Dahlia ended up being a little bit of a trap race.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a disappointment to me. I thought going down the backside, when she had a lot of horse and this and that, she just kind of, when she made a run, she sort of emptied out a little bit and let the filly that won, she finished up strong. And I thought that's what we should have been doing. Nothing against Forrest. She rode her fine. But that bit earlier in the day, on Saturday, that didn't leave the best taste in my mouth. But I thought I'd found the right spot to get her a stakes win. And, but she's kind of, a couple other times, she sort of, I thought I had her in the right spot since she got beat. Maybe with a little more racing. She hadn't raced for, since the end of January. So maybe with a little bit more racing that, she'll learn to finish a little bit better too. But she's doing very well. She looks good. She's filled out a lot over the winter. She had a good winter after the Pegasus. Her race in the Suwannee River was really good. That was one of the reasons I went on and took a shot in the Pegasus, and which didn't work out. But, there's so many filly mare grass races around the east, and that we're going to be able to, we've got a lot of fillies and mares, four or five of them, that are, going to be able to be in those kind of races, whether it's here or in Monmouth or Maryland or Delaware or wherever it might be. We're going to have horses in Louisville all summer, so we can fire them back and forth, and Ells is going to be a big option, and as well as Kentucky Wow. Downs and Churchill in the fall. So, there'll be a lot of spots for them.
Well, swing back to Keeneland for a second, and I did see that nice performance by Limited Liability last week.
Well, I think after watching him run the other day, that's the way he wants to run from back when he broke his maiden his first start in an impressive race in Saratoga. He was back and wound his way through the horses and finished really strong. Then we ran him back in those stakes, and they were short fields, so I think it kind of took us maybe out of his best running style, but it was, what are you going to do? And, I was disappointed. I was disappointed in the race at Saratoga. I thought he ran pretty good in the race at Belmont in the fall, and so I just elected to give him some time, and I was pleased with the way he came back. With his pedigree, he ought to run all day, and if everything goes right, we'll point him to the Pennine Ridge and see where we stand.
Well, on a similar note, actually, some thoughts about the maiden breaker, that trending of Andrew Rosen's, the nice Uncle Mo colt out of Thieskin's Theory.
Like him. He's really a nice kind of horse. He stood in the first stall right by my office at Gulfstream all winter, and he really enjoys being what he is. He stands up in the front of the stall, and he's out of his hay rack, looks around all day. And, you know, I mean, obviously his first start on the dirt was terrible, and then he came back and he ran really, really, really well to be second in his first start on the grass. And then we ran him back, and, you know, he was a disappointing fourth, but Javier came back and told me, he said, listen, this turf horse, doesn't, he's a big, heavy horse, doesn't suit him. They put sand in, you know, where the holes, and he said he didn't like that kickback and stuff. He said, I think when we get him on another turf course, he'll be fine. So that's why we pointed him for the race at Keeneland. You know, it was the right distance, a mile and 3/16. And you know, I think he's got a bright future in front of him. I don't know that it's going to be, you know, at today. But I think as long as we go along, I think he's going to be pretty nice.
Well, and you, I mentioned Thieskin's Theory because that she was, you know, she was nice. I mean, she, I know she never won the big, you know, the big ticket that, you know, that Andrew and you wanted, but she was great one placed, and you know, she had a nice enough career, and so I'm sure, you know, you look at this pedigree. I mean, serious
good pedigree. She's been a little bit disappointing as a broodmare. But, you know, he gives her big chances, and maybe trending will be the one that kind of breaks the ice for her. And so, you know, we'll see. You know, I sure hope for trending and for Andrew that he can go on and be, you know, a fun horse to be around.
Well, you also, on that same card, you took a shot with Radio Days trying to, you know, try to lift her head back up, and I think you and I talked about her earlier in the spring, and nothing wrong with this effort. You kind of got run over, though, by, you know, the runaway winner.
Well, the winner's, you know, an exceptionally good filly, it looks like, and
yeah,
you know, my idea was and my, you know, what I talked to Joelle about was, you know, let's let her get her back and see if she'll finish, which she did. You know, she just ran, and she was just second best. You know, she just ran in the horse she could beat. And, you know, that's the only thing I could figure out with the race up here where she ran bad, the Busher or whatever it was, and was that maybe she laid up too close to the pace because her other races she had been back. And so I think that's what it is. I'm going to go on and try to get her stretched out again. And she had a really nice work here yesterday. And I'm going to try to get her stretched out and hopefully run her in the Blackout Susan.
Oh, very good. All right. So everybody can put her on, put Radio Days on the list. Shug, that swings us around to next week. When are you coming in to Churchill?
Tomorrow. Coming tomorrow. Right. Well, you saw the filly. She shipped over yesterday. I want to give her 4 or 5 days of galloping in a breeze over the track. And, as you know, get her settled in really well. I mean, she's really easy to be around. I mean, she's like a puppy dog. But you know yourself, that's quite a trying week next week. So I just wanted to kind of get her over there and get her used to the track, which is, you know, the track's a little bit different. That doesn't seem to be a problem for her, but I was just trying to cover my bases. And, you know, I had a couple others join her that shipped from here. They shipped yesterday and got in there this morning, and I'll have a couple more come over the weekend. You know, I mean, I'm just trying to, you know, take advantage of what's going on in Kentucky and, you know, sort of separate. You know, I've got a maiden I'm going to bring in her run on the dirt, you know, but I've got one to run up here on the dirt. And they've got a filly the same way. I'm going to enter for Saturday, going a mile and a quarter on the dirt. I think she's run twice short, and she doesn't want to do that. I knew that. But So, you know, kind of doing some of that stuff. But I'm coming in tomorrow and going to stay probably through work on Saturday, and if everything's going right, I'll come back up here on Sunday for a couple of days and then come back for the tenure. And looking forward to it. I enjoy Churchill. I enjoy Louisville. I mean, I spent a lot of time around there, you know, in my younger days, and it's fun for me, and I can get over to Lexington and, you know, see, I got a 14-month-old granddaughter, and I get to pay a little attention to her and, you know, and work along with it. So, you know, Louisville's always been a fun time for Alice and I both, and we're looking forward to next week.
Well, what's notable that I think everybody is coming to grips with, and they have really all winter, as these three-year-old fillies, you know, from two to then three, as they started to take shape, Shug, I mean, people are putting this Oaks, I mean, absolutely on a par with Saturday's feature. It's just shaped up terrific. How closely have you looked at the rest of this field?
Well, of course, I know them because I've been watching them run. I mean, I know Secret Oath and Echo Zulu. I really know and watch because Joe Allen bought a half-sister tour out of the yearling sale last year by American Pharoah. So I've got a big interest in watching her. My interest is not going to be quite as big on Friday as it was in her races at, you know, last fall in New Orleans. But, you know, I mean, the hidden filly and you know, I mean, she ran her eyeballs out in New Orleans the other day, and you know, but I think we fit, and you know, the Oaks has always been high on my list, and you know, we were lucky to win it, but it was a long time ago, and really, our participation in it has not been as much as I would have liked, and so I'm looking forward to next Friday or week from Friday and being a participant with a chance.
I'm going to ask you about that, actually. And I brought this up with you over the winter when it became obvious that Kathleen O was going to be one of the major players, and that, you know, your one win in this race came in 93 with the Danzig Filly Dispute. Pat Day and did Pat Ryder that day?
I think Jerry Bailey rode.
You're right. Yep, you're right. Jerry Bailey's right. Pat rode her later on.
She was a very, very good filly. Yeah. She broke her maiden here in the fall at Belmont of her two-year-old year, and I was walking back through the tunnel, and I said to Denny, this is the kind of horse we're looking for, because she was a big, solid Danzig filly with a good pedigree, and you know, I mean, she had trained like she could run, and she could run. I mean, she beat Sky Beauty in the race at, it's now the Florida Oaks, but it was the Bonnie Miss at Gulfstream, and you know, then she won the Ashland, she won the Spencer that fall, and I thought she would be a really candidate in the Breeders' Cup, and she bruised her foot real bad, and you know, I was going to have Dispute and Heavenly Prize both in there, and so I only could run Heavenly Prize. You know, Tom Fox was still the one who really got on the lead. We just couldn't get to Heavenly Prize, and you know, it might have been different if Dispute was in there, because she had a lot of speed. Heavenly Prize didn't, but that's something nobody will ever know. Hats off to Tom Proctor. But, you know, that's the race I kind of look back on and think, you know, what if?
Well, and looking at the rest of her career, you brought her back in January at Gulfstream, and she won three straight. She won two allowances, then the Bonnie Miss, and then, you know, then came here to win the Oaks.
Yep. That's why I said the Ash, and I skipped the Ashland with her. And, like I say, she was a good filly. She got on the lead or close to it that day with Bailey and was in one, and it was You know, I was a day. I won three stakes that day. It was pretty exciting. You know, it was a pretty exciting day. Lure won Grass Stake, which is now the, I think it was Early Times then. And then I had another filly that won the two-term dirt race named Quilma. And, so it was, we won the first two, and then we got Dispute coming up, and, I was obviously excited about that. I've got an old buddy named, they call him Moon, but his name's Donnie Gamble, but everybody calls him Moon.
Sure.
He worked for Sally, but he's been a buddy of mine for all my training career. And he was standing next to me on the first two races in the track maintenance office there in the tunnel at Churchill. And we came back in to watch the Oaks. There's some people standing there, and I told him, I said, let me tell you something. You all had to get out of the way here because Moon's standing there, because that's where he's been for the last two. And now the next day, everybody wanted to know who Moon was. So Moon was my friend, and he was a good luck charm that day standing there, and you were going to be standing there. So, and nobody knew who Moon was.
You talk about that little room with the little TV in the tunnel?
Yep.
Oh, that's funny.
I watched Earl
Derby
in there, too.
Oh, a lot of people. Kieran McLaughlin used to watch in there. He watched Closing Argument in that room, and it's pretty funny. And there was also, you could also go up to, some guys would go up and watch the longtime track super. Butch Lear's office there above the sort of, up to the right of the tunnel.
I used to always go in that little office there because there wasn't anybody in there going to bother you. And on those big days like that, to get upstairs at Churchill and get back downstairs, sometimes in the easiest thing in the world to do. So I can see the race a whole lot better on television than I can watching in person anyway. So that's kind of what the deal was.
I love it. Well, and, for those that pulled up the chart, you were 5-1, and you beat Eliza, who was 3-5.
Yep. Yep, Eliza was good, too. Bot, Carlson, yeah.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Who else, have you run over, in the interim? It's almost 30 years, Shug.
I think I've only run one, and it was Yale. Johnny was riding her. She won the Divine Dale, and then at Gulfstream, and then we ran her in the Ashland, and she finished third or fourth, and Claiborne filly, and she came back. She had a little bit of a dirty nose and that kind of stuff, so I brought her back up here, and she got in a little trouble that race too, and in the Ashland. So then we took her back down there to run her in the Oaks. And I remember Johnny and I kind of joking, well, maybe in this race we won't get in any trouble. And she got in some trouble going around the first turn. And I think we ended up third, and Zito won it with a thing of Miss Whitney's, but I can't remember what her name was. But that's the last time.
Well, how about that? Well, that would have been Birdtown. That was the year that that Birdtown won the Oaks and Funnyside won the Derby. It was a big New York, Oaks Derby double.
Well, that's probably who it was, Birdtown. I think you're exactly right.
There it is. In fact, there it is, Birdtown, 18-1. In fact, for Mary Lou,
she was on the rail. I think she was on the rail maybe the whole way. But
under Edgar Prado, yeah, you were third and got beat. Yeah, three lengths and change.
Yeah. I mean, she ran fine, but like I say, she did get a little bit of a jam going around the first turn. And I remember Johnny coming back, and, we both kind of threw our hands up and said, well, it happened again, that's part of racing. And, like I say, hopefully everything will go right on next Friday. And, I hope that with the 2 year-olds we got, next year we'll have another one. It's got a big chance.
Well, it's with all the conversations over the years that we have, and mostly obviously the the Phipps family products and Stewart's as well. But it feels like you're having fun with this interesting new eclectic group of owners.
Yeah, it is. You know, I mean, it's given me some opportunities. Obviously, Phipps and Janney are still a great big part of it. But, you know, I really enjoyed kind of renewing my relationship with Joe Allen. He's such a good guy, and he's really stepped to the plate, not only with his homebreds, but, you know, with his yearling purchases in the last 2 years. And, you know, with Mr. Adam and Cortland Farm was kind of a new venture for me, but, you know, he steps it up too. And, you know, Greatest Honor had a decent year last year, and, you know, I think he'll end up having a decent year this year. He's just kind of horse that needs racing. And, you know, I mean, Andrew's been a friend of mine since the Chiefs Crowns day, you know, and it's always fun not only being around him, but his input and having a horse or two for him. And, you know, he's an enthusiastic guy and thinks to the moon. And, you know, so the Scalding group, you know, I mean,
yep.
Robert Clay, like I said, has been a friend of mine for a while, and it's fun to have a horse of his caliber for him and his group. You know, I know Mr. Dodson to speak to and have a conversation with, and the same with L&J Foxwoods. You know, so hopefully that maybe Scalding will lead to, you know, maybe some others for them. But it is fun. You know, I've met some neat people. I've had a great time with Pat Kearney that owns Kathleen O. And, you know, I think the future is in front of us, Steve.
It's amazing. It's unbelievable that and you got the West Point horses too. And I mean, there's
West Point. Yeah. I left them at Lane's Inn. You know, of course, I've always, you know, for a long time had a horse here or there for Mr. Farish, and now we've gotten involved with Bill with Woodford starting out with First Captain, and you know, they stepped up to the plate pretty big in these 2-year-old sales. And you know, Terry, of course, First Captain was the first one I'd had for West Point, Terry Finley. And, you know, then they bought that Dripping of Gold out of the 2-year-old sale. And won his first start at Saratoga, and then he was kind of a disappointing fourth or fifth in Canada. We gave him some time. He's come back. I've been pretty impressed with the way he's trained. Not ready to run, but the way he's trained. And, you know, they've stepped in and stepped up for a lot of these 2-year-old purchases that we've made this year, as well, you know, as well as the yearlings last year. They bought a really nice quality road colt in partnership with Woodford, and you know, this winter they bought a Medallior and a Capet and
nice.
Good Magic, which are all you know, they were all expensive horses. That doesn't mean they can run, but they all act like they could have a future.
Fine.
Terry's been fun too. You know, I never did really know Terry, but to speak to him. But he took Alice and myself to West Point last September. Well, it was right after the Belmont. It wasn't September, but right after the Belmont, which was a treat. And they have a kind of a benefit golf tournament, the West Point Golf Club, the next day, which was really an eye-opener to see these people coming back and honoring the guy that they honored was killed in Afghanistan. And
wow.
He had been over there and done his tour of duty, had a family, and volunteered to go back to help out. I don't think he was going to be on the front lines or anything. Got killed in an ambush. But it's pretty... it's pretty out stuff, and to see West Point was, you know, something. I hope that when we go up there this year to play in the golf tournament, we can go on Sunday and see it again.
Shug, as always, it's so much fun to go over the successes and also the great Hall of Fame history and trying to add to the resume next Friday with Kathleen O. Look forward to seeing you here, and best of luck. See you soon.
All right, Steve. I'm looking forward to getting down there. Thank you.
Shug McGahey, everybody. Kathleen O, Scalding, and so many more. I mean, there's some recent maiden winners, too, that you're going to be cycling back, and you can tell, you know, it sounds like everything he's bringing to Churchill feels pretty live. There's been, you know, been a bunch of turf, too. I mean, it's one of the things about Shug that's amazing is just the success that he crafts with whatever kind of horse he's got. I mean, we spent that long period when he was getting all of those, you know, all those good turf, you know, long on the turf types, you know, like Point of Entry. You know, there was that whole period where, you know, part of the Phipps Janney, you know, breeding was, you know, long-winded and you know, distance stamina types, and Shug, you know, just adjusted, and you know, now he, you know, getting some different body types and horses that have a, you know, different, you know, some win early pedigrees, and you know, the types that you know, like a Kathleen O, and he can just flat out train. It's just amazing. Let's take a break. I did not expect to have a 40-minute visit with Shug, but that's what happens when I get him on here, and I always love letting him. He remembers everything. I mean, just everything. When you bring up a name, and I'll dig up a dispute, find a good photograph and news article. Let's take the break here, and James Scully, we'll get back into some Derby conversation. That was some Oaks conversation. And I will, you know what, I will get, I had one question for Shug that I was sort of saving, but we'll wait till he gets here. And one of my favorite things over the years is asking, particularly Derby winning, and you know, those that have had success in the Derby, you know, you don't have to win to be successful running horses in the Derby, because it's hard to win. But I think it started, I don't know, 10 years ago with Carl Nafsker. There was whatever year it was that we had Carl on to talk about some win that he had had, maybe at Keeneland. And that probably was actually, it probably was Derby week. And, and I asked him who he liked, and I'm trying to remember the year. I'm sure there's an old-time listener that remembers this. I could ask Ian, too. Ian Wilkes. But Carl was right on top of it. So that kind of kicked off the tradition of asking observers that are watching the horses. You know, they're watching their horses, but they see all the Derby horses, too. So we'll get some of those opinions. Scully's next, though, and I put up race summaries in Brisnet PPs plus the cut of Epicenter's PP. Pull it up on your Twitter, on my Twitter, or if you've got the Brisnet PPs at hand. And James will go over it and explain some of the nuances, you know, the numbers that are next to the, you know, the pace letters and all the, you know, the fine print that's involved in those Brisnet PPs and what it can tell you as we look ahead toward the draw next week. Back after this, we're at Churchill Downs. It's pre-Derby week. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick.
Experience the all-new Paddock Suite at Saratoga Racecourse. Available for groups of up to 80 guests, the venue features a climate-controlled lounge overlooking the Saratoga paddock. Visit naira.com/Saratoga to book your group outing.